Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. And if you remember, last Sunday night, I preached a sermon entitled Learning to Take No for an Answer. And we were talking about how the Bible teaches us that sometimes we are going to be given the answer no in life, and we need to learn how to take no. We need to learn how to receive that. And there are reasons why we need to do that. Well, tonight, what I'd like to do is to preach this kind of the second part to this little two-part mini-series we're doing on Sunday night. Tonight, I'm preaching on the subject of learning to give no for an answer. Because not only is it difficult for us sometimes to take no as an answer, but it's also difficult for many to learn to give no for an answer. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of dissect this very famous story about David's son Amnon and his friend Jonadab. And we're going to learn from this story just some principles in regards to learning to give no for an answer. Because not only do you need to learn to take no and receive no, but you also need to learn to give no and to be able to say no. And many people struggle with this idea of saying no and not having the ability to say no. So if you'd like to write down some notes, I'd like you to jot some things down. First of all, let's talk about learning to say no to others. And of course, this is the when we think of learning to say no, this is what we usually think of. We're going to talk about other ways and different ways to say no. But the main one is learning to say no to others. And primarily, as we begin, of course, a study in the Bible and looking at this in Scripture, we need to learn to say no to those who would like you to sin. If you're there in 2 Samuel 13, look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." So, and we're going to come back to these verses here in a little bit, but as you just kind of develop the story, you see here, we've got Absalom who has a sister Tamar, and you've got Amnon who, Amnon would be the half-brother of Absalom and Tamar. They have the same father, David, but they have different mothers. And Amnon is in love with his half-sister Tamar. And the Bible tells us here that he fell sick for his sister. Notice verse 3. "But Amnon had a friend." And this is really where the story goes downhill. And you need to understand this in your life and in my life. There are literally friends that will destroy and ruin your life. And here we're told that Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And I'm not preaching about this tonight, but I just want you to notice this. And whenever I come to this passage, I like to point this out. If you study this story out, Jonadab is a picture of the devil. He is a picture of Satan. And we see him acting like Satan in this story. And look, you need to be careful about your friends because there are some evil friends out there that want to lead you astray. Notice again verse 3. "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother." Notice, and Jonadab, here's the first way we see Jonadab pictured as Satan. The Bible says, "And Jonadab was a very subtle man." That terminology is used about the devil in the Garden of Eden. If you remember, the Bible tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And here we see that Jonadab was Amnon's friend, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And I want you to notice what Jonadab says to his friend Amnon. Verse 4, "And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day?" Because remember, Amnon's sick, he's depressed, and he's discouraged because he loves Tamar. He wants to be with Tamar, but he thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And here comes Jonadab, this no good friend. And notice what he says. He says, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And by the way, your relationships can get very toxic if you have friends that you just tell every inner secret and desire to. In fact, you're too close to your friends. In fact, you need to just quit being friends with people that you get so comfortable with, you're willing to just talk about sin and just lust and desires. I mean, notice what he says. "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And you know, the answer is no, Amnon. You don't need to tell him. No, Jonadab, you don't need to be asking this question. "And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister, And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So we see this useless, worthless friend who is not iron sharpening iron. He's not trying to encourage him to do right. He's not sitting there telling Amnon, hey, Amnon, this is wrong. Amnon, you shouldn't be thinking these thoughts. Amnon, you need to get this out of your head. Amnon, let's go. Let's go for a walk. Let's go play some ball. Let's go do something productive. Let's pray. Let's read the Bible. But instead, he has this friend who he just sits with, and he talks about every intimate detail. And listen to me. Some of you have friends like that in this church. You're comfortable in gossip. You're comfortable in backbiting. You're comfortable in just talking crap about the pastor and the pastor's wife and the staff and everybody else. And let me tell you, that is a bad friend. You need to end that friendship. You need to, I said, Pastor, are you saying that there are people in this church I should not be friends? If you're gossiping, if you're talking about sin, if you're talking about just deep, intimate desires that you would be ashamed for the rest of us to hear you, if you have to be secretive about it, if you have to whisper about it, if you have to go and meet somewhere differently so you can talk about these things, yes, you have a wrong friend. Look, here's the thing. You either have a wrong friend or you are a wrong friend or it's both. You're both crappy friends. You're both worthless friends. A friend is supposed to help you walk with God. It's supposed to sharpen you. They're not supposed to drag you down. And here we have Jonadab, this worthless friend, and he's telling Amnon, you deserve this. You need this. This is what God has for you. And you know what Amnon should have done? Amnon should have just said no. But Amnon did not know how to say no to people. So he follows along, and he continues on with this plan. And look, it literally ends his life because of a friend. Because of a friend who gave him bad advice. And notice, Jonadab, remember, he was a subtle man. We saw that he was like Satan. He was subtle. And let me tell you something. There are bad people in churches, and they're subtle. You say, how do you know, Pastor, you always talk about these people that are just talking crap about you, talking crap about... Look, nobody walks up to you and just starts telling you, let me tell you what I don't like about Miss Joanne. They do it subtly. Well, let me tell you, if I was running this church, here's what I... Nobody asked you. You're not running the church. If I was the pastor's wife, I mean, we've heard this. If I were the pastor's wife, well, you're not. Well, you're not in charge. Well, it's not your job. And look, they'll do these things subtly, and they'll come at you subtly. And you say, well, how do I know if this is happening? Here's how you know. If your relationship with someone has pinned you against other people, then you are subtly being influenced. You are simple. You are simple to be manipulated. You need to wake up. You need to get some smarts and get some brains and realize that not all friends are created equal. And notice what this guy does. Notice what he does. He's subtle. He tempts him. He says, you deserve this. Let me tell you how to do it. And then when it all falls apart, he points his finger at him and accuses him. Look, notice verse 32. Notice once Absalom has revenge over Amnon and has him put to death, verse 32, and Jonadab, the son of Shimei, notice what it says, and Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, he's talking to David now, he says, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Notice, Jonadab is there to just rat out, to King David. He's just telling him, well, this happened because remember, Amnon forced his sister Tamar. It's funny how he leaves out the part where it was his idea. It's funny how he leaves out the part where he was the one that was telling him, hey, you should do this. You deserve this. But you know what? This is what the devil does. The devil will entice you. He will be subtle. And then that's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. So you notice how Jonadab is a perfect picture of Satan in this story. Keep your finger there in 2 Samuel 13. That's our text for tonight. But go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter 1, you're there in 2 Samuel, you're going to go past 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. When you get to Proverbs, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there. because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. Proverbs chapter 1, notice verse 10. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, notice what the Bible says. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that means? That means you need to learn to say no. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Look, there's some people you need to just not hang out with. You need to not be around. There are some people in this world that you need to learn to say no. And look, if people are enticing you to sin, if people are enticing you to do wrong, if people are enticing you to follow them into things that are wrong, you need to learn to say no. My son, if sinners entice you, and you know what? You adults, if you think like, oh, this is, I don't need this, I hope every kid is listening right now and understands this concept that if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they're trying to get you to do wrong, if they're trying to get you to sin, you got to learn to say no. We have to learn to say no to others. But look, we need to learn to say those who would have us to sin. We need to learn to say those who would have us to go down the wrong path. We need to learn to say no to those who are going to try to pin us against other people or try to gossip to us or try to turn us against other church members. You need to learn to just say no. No, Jonadab, you're a worthless friend. You are worthless as a friend. I don't need you. With friends like you, who needs enemies? You're just going to ruin my life. So you need to learn to say no. But listen, you also need to, you don't need to just learn to say no to those who are tempting you to do wrong and to sin and to go down the wrong path. You also need to learn to say no to those who you are responsible for. Because it's really interesting in this story, 2 Samuel 13, if you can go back there, look at verse 6. 2 Samuel 13, and let me just give you a hint. If you have to ask yourself, I wonder if he's talking about me, I'm talking about you. Or I should say, the Holy Spirit's talking about you. You know, it's funny, but I wonder if he's talking about me. Yeah, yeah, it's you. 2 Samuel 13, verse 6. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, notice what Amnon says, have out all men from me. Listen to me. Hey, listen, you young people, whenever it's you're in mixed company, you're with members of opposite sex, be careful when the announcement is made, have out all men from me. You know, you need to make sure that you're always in group settings. If it's males and females, always make sure. Look, what here, and I'm not blaming Tamar, but hindsight's 20/20, and Tamar should have just got out of there as soon as Amnon says, have out all men from me. You understand that? Joseph ended up in prison because he found himself in a house by himself with a wicked woman. He did nothing wrong, yet she lied about him. Here Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, look, girls, don't put yourself in situations where it's just you and some dude. You say, oh, well, you don't trust him. I don't trust him. Not a bit of them. Not one of them. And Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. He's going to try to force her into a physical relationship. I mean, he's going to end up raping her. Notice verse 12. Notice what she says. It's really interesting insight into the story. And she answered him. Now realize, she's begging. This is a girl that's going to get raped. And she's begging. She's just trying to, like, get out of the situation. And she answered him. She's trying to stop him at the moment. I'm sure she's just trying to stop him so she can have enough time to just get away from him. But notice what she says. She says, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly," verse 13, "and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee," notice what she says, "speak unto the king." Here's what she's saying. Talk to dad. Because remember, David, the king, he's her dad. She says, "speak unto the king." Notice what she says. "For he will not withhold me from thee." You know what we have in the story? We have a young man who never learned to say no to himself. He never learned to say no to bad influences. And apparently, he never learned to say no because he never had a dad who said no. I mean, she's literally saying, you know how dad is. He won't withhold anything from thee. He's given you everything you want. And look, David was a great character in the Bible. Obviously, he had his flaws. He was a man after God's own heart. But you know what? One thing we can say about David was that he was a terrible dad. You say, I can't believe you'd say that. Well, just look at his kids. Look at how they turned out. And here we're given some insight by one of his daughters. And she says, he will not withhold me from thee. And apparently, Amnon was never told no by his authority. And listen to me, whenever the authority fails to teach those under authority how to receive no, those under authority are never going to learn to say no. And here we have a dad who never said no. I mean, she says, just talk to the king. He's not going to say no. He's not going to withhold you from me. And listen, not only do we need to learn to say no to those who would entice us to sin, but we need to learn to say no to those who we are responsible for. Go to Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 30. If you go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 30. Listen to me. Leaders are responsible, and the Bible holds leaders responsible when they fail to say no. Are you a leader tonight? If you're a husband, you're a leader. If you're a father, you're a leader. If you're a mother, you're a leader. If you're an older sibling, hey, you're a leader. If you may not know this, but if you're a Christian that's walking with God and you've been doing this for a while and you've been walking with God for a while, there are people watching. You may not know it, but you're a leader. People are watching you. And look, if you're a leader, you need to learn to say no to those who are under your authority. Here's why. Because God will hold the leader responsible when he or she fails to say no. Let me give you some examples. Numbers 30. Look at verse 3. Numbers chapter 30, verse 3. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord. Here we have a woman who makes a decision. She decides she's going to do something for God. It may be a good thing. It may be a bad thing. It doesn't matter. She just made a choice and she decided to vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond. Notice what it says. Being in her father's house. What does that mean? That means that she's under the authority of her father. She's living in her father's house. And look, I realize that this is foreign to our culture today, but the Bible teaches that in the home, the man is the leader. The husband's the leader. The father's the leader. This young girl is in her father's house, and she's under his authority. Notice, she's in her father's house in her youth. Verse 4. And her father hear her vow and her bond, wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace. So here we have a young girl. She made a decision. She made a vow. She said, I'm going to do this for God. And then her dad heard the vow, but he held his peace. What does that mean? That means he failed to say no. He chose to say no. He decided, you know what? I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to say no. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. Notice verse 5. But if her father disallow, what does that word disallow mean? It means does not allow. It means he hears her and he says, wait a minute, no. No, we're not going to do that. No, you're not going to make that vow. No, you're not going to make that commitment. It says, but if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth it, not any of her vow or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. What does that mean? Look, it means this, that the father has the authority to say no in the home. He has the authority to say no. The leader has the authority to say no. And God says, I'll respect that. I'll acknowledge that. Even if your kid makes some sort of vow to God, if you hear it and you disallow it, God says, I will honor that because it is the leader's responsibility to say no. Notice verse 6. He gives another example. Verse 6, it says, and if she had at all an husband. So now it's not a girl living with her dad. Now it's a lady married to a husband. So she's under the authority of her husband. When she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace, he didn't say anything, he didn't say no, at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallow, if her husband does not allow, if the husband says no, he said disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed in that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. You say, why are you reading this? Here's why I'm reading this. Because God keeps and makes the leader responsible. And look, in whatever area you are a leader in life, if you're going to be a good leader, you need to learn to say no. You need to learn to disallow. You need to learn to not allow. You need to learn to say, no, we're not going to do that. No, you're not going to wear that. No, we're not going to go there. No, you're not going to watch that. No, you're not going to listen to that. You're not going to drive there. You're not going to hang out with him. You're not going to hang out. Look, if you're the leader, say no. Because God will hold you accountable as the leader. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 3. Let me give you another example. 2 Samuel chapter number 3, verse 11. Here we have an example of a father with his sons, but we also have an example of an employer with his employees. Because this is a man who is working with his sons in a career. 1 Samuel 3, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day, notice this is God telling Samuel about the judgment that he's going to bring upon the leader, the spiritual leader of the nation, Eli, the high priest. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I've told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Notice, because his sons made themselves vile, and his sons are having physical relationships with women in the temple. They're taking parts of the sacrifice that don't belong to them. He says, look, which he knoweth. He says, he's aware of this because his sons made themselves vile. Don't miss the last part of verse 13. And he restrained them not. Isn't that interesting? God holds Eli accountable because Eli did not restrain, because he did not stop those who were under his authority. And here's all I'm telling you, Mom. Here's all I'm telling you, Dad. Here's all I'm telling you, Boss. Here's all I'm telling you. You know, in whatever situation you're a leader, you will not be a good leader if you don't learn to say this little word, no. And by the way, that's what makes you a leader. What makes you the leader, I don't know if you understand this, what makes you the leader is the fact that you say no. If you don't say no, look, if you don't say no, Mom, Dad, if you don't say no to your kids ever, then you're not the leader. Because, you know, it's easy to lead when everybody's going in the same direction. It's easy to lead when everybody's in agreement, when everybody's doing it, when everybody wants to do it, when everybody's happy. You say, what makes someone a leader different than a follower? A leader is different in the sense that they're willing to stand up and stop everyone and stop everything and say, I know you guys don't want to do this. I know you guys don't want to go in this direction. I know this is not what's most popular, but I don't really care because I'm the leader. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others. This is not what God wants. No. That's what makes you a leader. honestly, and I'm not, and I hope this comes across the right way, and I'm not trying to sound negative, but if you want to know, why, Pastor Menes, why are you the pastor? What, you know, other than the fact that you have the position, you have the title, but really, in application, why are you the leader? Here's the biggest reason, because I'm the one that says no. I say no. I say no to certain things. I say no to people's ideas. I'm the one that says, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to go down that road. We're not going to bring that in. We're not going to bring in that new method. We're not going to bring in that new doctrine. We're not going to bring... I'm the one that says no. That's what makes me the leader. Literally, here's why I'm the leader. Because I say no, and because I deal with the very difficult situations of counseling, and my wife deals with the difficult situations. That's really the only difference between us and everyone else. We say no. Even the staff, you know, often they'll say no. They'll say, pastor said no. Pastor said no. Pastor doesn't want. You say, why? And you say, well, do you like saying no? No, I don't like saying no, but here's what I know. If I'm going to be a good leader, I'm going to have to learn to say no. And you are going to need to learn to say no to those who would entice you to sin. And if you're a leader, you're going to have to learn to say no and have. Them in the eye and say, no, I love you too much to make that stupid decision. I care about you too much to let you go. No, the answer is no. I'm mom, no. I'm dad, no. This is what a leader does. But then they're not going to like me. You're the leader, it doesn't matter. Your job is to protect them. Your job is to help them. Your job is to raise them. Your job is not to be their friend. Now look, we want our kids to be our friends. Look, I want you guys to be my friends. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to be my friend, that's fine with me. The answer is no. Because it's my job. It's my job to be the leader. So you need to learn to say no to others. You need to learn to say no to others. Now let me just say this. And sometimes what you need, the reason that people struggle so much with saying no is because they don't have the right motivation to say no. So let me just give you some things to consider, 5 thoughts to consider in regards to saying no. And these are things, maybe you want to write these down, especially if you struggle with saying no to people. You might want to write these down, but these are 5 things you ought to consider. And I try to go through these in my mind whenever I have to make a decision on things. I try to kind of consider these things. Here's 5 things that you need to consider in order to help you get that no. You know, grow a little backbone and say no. Here are things you ought to consider. Number one, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about this situation? What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say in regards to this? Number two, what do wise counselors say? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. What do wise counselors say? What do other people who I trust, who are smart, who are wise, who are godly, what do they say about this? How about this? Will it hurt me? How about this? Will it hurt others? How about this? Do I want to? Do I even want to do this? Is this something that I even want to do? You know, you gotta consider these things and you gotta learn to say no. And I'm not saying you need to just say no for the sake of saying no, but I'm saying this, as a leader, you need to learn to say no. And you say, well, I'm not a leader. I don't have anybody to follows me. I'm not a leader in any position. Okay, well, then you know what? You need to learn to lead yourself and you need to learn to say no when sinners entice thee. When people are trying to influence you to do wrong, to go down the wrong path. So the first area in regards to learning to say no is to learn to say no to others. But let me give you a second area. Because some of you are like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a parent. I'm not, you know, I don't have employees. I'm not a pastor. I don't have to say no. Okay, how about this one? Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Number one, we said you need to learn to say no to others. Number two, you need to learn to say no to yourself. It probably is more important for you to learn to say no to yourself than it is for you to learn to say no to others. There are things that you know you should not do. You know it intuitively. You know it because there's a conscience that God put inside of you. You know it. Your gut feeling tells you, no. But oftentimes we get ourselves into trouble. And here's what I know, and I don't know all your details, and I don't need to know all your details, but here's what I know. Your biggest regrets in life are because you ignored that little voice that says no. No, I shouldn't do that. No, I shouldn't go there. No, I shouldn't consume that. Here's what's interesting. Abner had that. Look at verse 1. 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, Tamar's half-brother, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon, notice what it says, Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Say, what does that mean? Here's what that means. He wanted to, but something inside of him was saying, no, you really shouldn't. He thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And you know what? Amnon should have listened to that inner voice saying no. And in my life and in your life, we need to learn to say no. And by the way, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter number 16. First book of the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You say, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You ever thought of that word disciple? That word disciple comes from the word discipline. A disciple is one who lives a disciplined life. And we're talking about in a spiritual sense. But what does it mean to live a disciplined life? What does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew 16, look at verse 24. Notice what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, here's what Jesus is saying. If anybody's going to be a follower of me, if they're going to be a follower of Christ, if they're going to be a disciple of Christ, if any man will come after me, notice what he says, let him deny himself. You know you can't follow Jesus without learning to say no to self? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Here's what the Apostle Paul, you don't have to turn there if you want to jot this down. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I keep under my body, and then he says this, I bring it into subjection. The idea is like when you see two guys wrestling, and one guy's they're wrestling, and he brings him into subjection. He takes control of him. Paul says, that's what I do with my body. My body, my flesh, has certain things it wants to do. It has certain things it'd like to do. It has certain places it wants to go. But he says, I've learned to say no to self. I've learned to deny self. I bring it into subjection. You say, why? Lest when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. See, in your life, not only do you need to learn to say no to others, but you need to learn to say no to self. Now look, the Bible talks about confessing your faults one to another, so I'll confess my faults to you. When I wrote this sermon earlier this week, and when I wrote this sermon, I wrote in here an illustration. Because my wife, you know, she leads this class on Wednesdays at 6:15, meet in the first mother baby room close to the floor, maybe you've heard of that. But they have this class she leads. It's a free class for ladies. It's a weight loss class. And it's meant for ladies who want encouragement or accountability in that area. And she gives them tips. And one of the tips she says, she teaches these ladies, is to say no choice, right? So whenever you're somewhere and there's food or whatever, and there's just nothing there that you can eat, there's nothing there for you, there's nothing good, you know, it's to just tell yourself, there's no choice. There's not even a choice there for me. There's nothing there for me. There is nothing at, you know, in that candy aisle that I need. And what is she saying? She's teaching people to deny self. Because, like, in whatever area of life you want to succeed, if you want to be successful in life, you need to learn to just say no. Now, I felt better about that illustration before I went to, the Cruises had a birthday party for my nephew. And, you know, they had pizza and cookies and cupcakes and, you know. And I'll tell you, I learned the hard way about saying no choice. You know, I said no choice. They put four pizzas in front of me. I'm like, okay. No choice. And then there's this big box of cookies. And I'm like, are these for me? Like, who are these for? You know? But, you know, just in life, look, in life, we need to learn to say no. You say no to who? No to those who would entice you to sin. You need to learn to say no to those who you have responsibility over. But you also need to learn to just say no to self. Just, you need to tell yourself, no, there's no choice. No choice in that area. No choice in there for me. There's nothing. I'm a disciple. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to bring myself into subjection. I'm crucified with Christ. No choice. No choice. So we need to learn to say no to others. We need to learn to say no to self. But there's a third option. And I'd like you to notice this. Go back to 2 Samuel 13. And the third way that we need to learn to say no, and it's this way, it's learning to say no temporarily. So we need to learn to say no to others. We need to learn to say no to self. But we also need to learn to say no temporarily. You say, what do you mean by that? There are sometimes that we say no. And sometimes we say no because it's going to hurt us. Sometimes we say no because it's going to hurt others. Sometimes we say no because it's just something we don't want to do. But there are sometimes, and you and I need to learn this, that we just say no with a disclaimer. No temporarily. No, listen, there are sometimes, please get this. There are sometimes when the answer is no for now, but not forever. No right now, but maybe later. No now, but not ever. Notice what it says in 2 Samuel 13:14. Notice what the Bible says. He says, howbeit he, that's Amnon, would not hearken unto her. Because remember, what did she say? She said, ask the king. What is she saying? She's saying, this is wrong. This is not right. But she says, but there is a right way to do this. She says, this is not right. Amnon, you're going to bring shame to me and you're going to be like one of the fools in Israel. But she said, honestly, though, ask the king. He won't withhold you from me. She said, there's a right way to do this. Don't do this. Don't force yourself. Notice what he says. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And here's what I want you to consider. Just think about this. Don't you believe that there was an appropriate time and an appropriate person for Amnon? Don't you believe that God had an appropriate time and an appropriate person for Amnon to meet, to date, to fall in love with, and to enjoy the blessings of a physical marital relationship? Don't you believe that God had that for Amnon? But Amnon would not learn to say no. He would not learn to take no. But here's the funny thing about Amnon. It wasn't no forever. It wasn't no, Amnon, you can never get married. No, Amnon, you can never enjoy the physical relationship of a husband and wife. It wasn't no forever. It was just no for now, Amnon. God has an appropriate time for you. God has an appropriate spouse for you. God has an appropriate relationship for you. But Amnon, the answer is not no. It's just not no. It's just no now. But not no forever. Go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. You're there in if you kept your place in Proverbs, I'm not sure if I told you to keep your place in Proverbs, but if you kept your place in Proverbs, right after Proverbs, you have the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You know that some things the answer is no for now? There's some things that the answer is just no. No for now. And look, we need to have the discipline to not try to push things that are just no for now. They're not no forever. They're just not now. Isn't that what we tell every young person? We tell young people, hey, sticks and true. You're going to talk with her. You're going to talk with him. You make sure they're 6 inches. Some people have a two-seat rule. That's even better than, that's what it, like 24 inches or something? You know, praise the Lord. We tell young people, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. You're not married. Don't be holding hands. Don't be kissing. Nothing good is going to come from that. We tell young people, don't drive in cars alone together. Make not provision for the flesh. Make sure you always have someone with you. Make sure you have, you know, we tell young people, hey, we don't want you to destroy your life, to lose your virginity, to end up pregnant, end up with a disease, end up, look, we're saying no, but we're not saying no forever. We tell young people, God has a person for you that he wants you to marry, that he wants you to enjoy that relationship with, but he wants you to do it right. It's not no forever. It's just no for now. It's just no for now. Ecclesiastes 3, look at verse 1. To everything there is a season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time and a place for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rant and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Notice verse 17. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. You know, sometimes the answer is just not. It's just no for now. But not forever. Sometimes it's just no. And if we're not, and we apply it to the physical relationship between young people. But look, it's in every area. I look at, you know, I'll give this example. I look at Pastor Aaron Thompson. You know, Pastor Aaron Thompson is someone that I trained for the ministry. I ordained him. We sent him to go start that church in Vancouver. And, you know, ever since he passed that church, that guy is just going crazy for the Lord. And I mean that in a good way. Amen. You know, he's accomplishing great things for God. You know, usually when I say things about him, it's bad. But this time it's good, okay? And I'm just kidding, of course. But, you know, he's doing great things for God. And he's just going everywhere and preaching everywhere. He's doing great things, and I'm just thankful that, you know, we took a part in that ministry. You know, I'm hoping I get some rewards in heaven for some of the things he's doing. But, you know, sometimes